the God of the Bible provides these underlying reasons for truth. Without the God of the Bible, anything goes. There's no right or wrong. And finally, in conclusion, indeed, let God be true and every man a liar, Romans 3:4. When you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Every word of God, Proverbs 30:5, is pure. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Again, there's an article in the back that goes over what we covered if you want to review this and discuss with your atheistic friends. And that pretty much covers what I wanted to discuss this morning. Are there any questions or comments or thoughts or corrections so far? Now, I have to admit that I'd studied this for a very long time before putting a presentation together. Actually, I studied it since 2009. I studied for about 7 years before I ever put a presentation together, and I tried it out, and it actually works, and people, oftentimes, they just get angry because they have no answer. But I think it is a valid and a biblical view. Any thoughts?
Without God, there are then no absolutes.
That's what it boils down to. As simply put as possible, Brother Lewis said, without God, there are no absolutes.
About anything.
That's true.
So in our public schools, which you're going to be preaching about, our children are being taught basically opposite of this, correct? I mean, in the evolutionary theory and different things like that, they're being taught that man came from out of water and he came out of this, that, and the other, and then he's a monkey,
exactly.
That's what they're being taught.
Exactly.
How do you get that out of public schools?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, the Supreme Court actually ruled, believe it or not, that it is not unconstitutional to present counter arguments to evolution in schools. It's just whether, number one, the teachers have enough gumption to do it, and number two, whether their principal and their superintendent are going to put them on administrative leave, and they're going to have to fight it in court. But it's not unconstitutional to present alternate views. I can show you the Supreme Court decision on that if you'd like to see that. But how to get it out of schools, I think we have to train our children. And I tell you what, teaching this across the country, I've been somewhat disappointed in some teachers who are Christians, and they tell me, well, there's nothing I can do. That's my job. I have to teach it. You know, I like to study Holocaust history. Do you know when they interview these people that weren't prosecuted, they only prosecuted the upper echelon of the Nazis, but they let all the lower henchmen go free. Do you know what their response is when they ask them, how could you do these horrible things? They all say the same thing. It was my job. And then they say, you would have done the same thing.
If we all came from or derived from the same cell organism, how did we happen to be male and female? And also, every need that any living thing had, whether it be plant or animal, there is something to provide for their need. From the food source, we need oxygen, that's available to us. We need nitrogen for the grass to grow, that's available to us. How can all of this just be changed?
Yeah, you've actually touched on two strong arguments against evolution. The first one is male and female. Where did that come from? Because bacteria are asexual. There's no male and female. And evolutionists cannot fully explain that. In fact, there's lots of different hypotheses on why that is. And the other thing is the symbiotic interdependence of animals, like you said. We're all dependent on other animals. We're dependent on all these other mechanisms and chemical reactions and things in nature. And so how did we originate without the proper building blocks for everything to come together at once, if it's supposedly evolved over billions of years? Even our bodies, How do you take out one organ and still live? The argument against that is called irreducible complexity, and that's in Darwin's Black Box by Michael Behe. We are irreducibly complex systems. You take one piece out of the engine of the car, and it doesn't work. Well, what if that car had to evolve for billions of years? How was it working? What if our bodies had to evolve for millions of years? How was it working without all the essential pieces in place at one time?
And why don't we see some of these transitional creatures out here somewhere?
That's right, and that's another big argument. We could go on and talk an hour about transitions, the lack of transitional forms. And in conclusion, I'll say one thing. Their answer to that now, the most popular answer, is punctuated equilibrium. They say the animals evolve so quickly that we don't see it in the fossil record. This is the only time I've ever heard of a major biological principle that's built on the lack of evidence.